Hello and welcome to the Pace Yourself podcast with me, Jamie Nolden. This podcast is all about real life stories of people who have found running to be a powerful tool in navigating life's challenges, whether it's from mental health, sobriety, weight loss, or just coping with everyday struggles. It's all about inspiring others and showing how powerful the simple act of running can be. In this episode, we meet Honor, a 56-year-old runner with an inspiring comeback story. After losing her running mojo in her 30s and facing breast cancer and a journey through weight loss and recovery, she laced up her shoes again in 2022. Now, with the help of a coach and her running crews, Honor has tackled everything from 5Ks to 10Ks, and her confidence has increased along the way. Hi, and welcome to the latest episode of Pace Yourself Podcast. I'm pleased to introduce a lovely lady that reached out to me to share her story, and her name is Honor. Welcome, Honor. How are you?
Jamie, it's great to be here. I'm good, thanks.
Good, thanks.
Had a nice run this morning.
And how was that?
It was good. It was 5.5 miles. It was long, but it was a good run.
Yeah, is it nice weather where you are at the moment?
It's sunny right now, but when I ran this morning, it was a little cloudy, which was perfect.
Okay.
So, you know, I was in Baltimore City right along the harbor, so I was running along the water.
Nice.
So we had some nice breezes.
Yeah. Is that your favorite kind of weather then when you run?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I definitely like it when it's cloudy.
I like it. I'm a rain runner. I love rain.
I tolerate rain. You know, one of my coaches is always saying, you know, you just never know what race day is going to be like. And so you should train in all conditions. And oddly, you know, funnily enough, back in June, we were going through an incredible heat wave here. And I was going to run a race. And the day before the race, all the weather experts were calling for a code orange or a code red day and warning people about exercising. And so the race director sent out an email and said if anybody wanted to convert their race to a virtual race, they would be okay with that. So I decided, I pulled the age card and I said, I'm too old for this. And so I did a virtual run instead. I did it on the treadmill.
That's a safer run, I'd say. I wouldn't say a virtual run, a safer run. I mean,
yeah.
They must have had to put that out because they, can you imagine the lawsuits that they would have had? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you know, particularly in America, we live in a very litigious society.
I have seen this. But we are here today to talk about your journey. You are just an ordinary person that reached out, and you've got a family, you've got a job, and you've got a hectic, busy life like 90% of the people out there. So why running for a start? Why pick probably the horribly sport there is for anyone starting out?
So I've thought about this question many times over the years, but let me just start off a little bit, little background. My father was a runner. And he did it for exercise. And when I was in my 30s, I started running. And because, you know, I was young and I thought, you know, I can run. And so I did it and I ran for probably about 4 or 5 years. And I ended up running a 10-mile race, which had to be extended because there was a suspicious package found under a bridge that we were going to run over. And just to clarify a little bit, the name of the run was the Army 10 Miler, and it started and finished at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., which is where one of the terrorist attacks in 2001 happened. So this race was in 2005, so people were still on very high alert. So rather than just say, oh, this will be fine, we'll go ahead with the race, they rerouted the race and turned out the package ended up being nothing. But the Army 10 miler that year turned into the Army 11 plus miler.
Wow. Okay. So you added some on there, yeah?
Added it.
But what I love about that is that they found the package and about everybody at the starting line was thinking, yes, it's going to cancel. We're not going to have to do it.
No, they didn't.
And no, they rerouted it.
Yeah, they didn't even tell us. I had memorized the route.
Wow.
And when I was going left, I saw the runners coming towards me, and I'm like, well, they're not supposed to be here. But you know, that was like the front, those were the winners. And I was like, but I totally forgot about it. I moved on, and I got to mile 8, and that was where the reroute happened.
Yeah.
And again, nobody has said anything to us. So we're just plodding along. And probably about mile 9, 9 and a half, I ran into my father, and who was there as a spectator to cheer me on. I said, what happened? And he said, oh, they found a package. And so they rerouted the race. And I'm like, oh, wow. And I walked another half mile, and I was like, well, technically, I'm done. I've done 10 my 10 miles.
Yeah, that's it.
So we walked that 11th mile in.
Yeah, don't blame me. Yeah, I'd have slipped into a coffee shop as well.
Yeah.
Well, I'd done it. With that must have been so intense. Yeah, the threat, obviously of the security and whatnot. And obviously, especially after such a difficult time in the US with everything that went off. How did that change your relationship with running at that time then? Did it put you off?
It did not, primarily because our safety was strongly considered. You know, they made the decision that was the safest decision to make at the time with the information that they had. And so I didn't have any problems with that. My problem was me. I was very proud of myself. In fact, my coworkers purchased a plaque for me from the organization that organized the race, and it clearly marked on there like 11 point, I forget what the mileage was, I think it was like 11 and a quarter miles. And I was very proud of the fact that I trained for a 10 miler and actually traveled more than 11 miles on my
journey. That shows you with running that it is about the mental aspect, because you've trained for 10, but you did 11. And that's an unbelievable achievement, isn't it?
You know, you talk about running being mental. It totally is.
A lot of people I've spoken to have told that it's helped them mentally. And when they've been running, they feel like they've become more successful in everyday life as well with things. And I truly believe that, because as you know, when I spoke to you before, it's changed me, completely changed me. You know, I wouldn't be doing this podcast today if it wasn't for running. So yeah, it's a definite definite mental struggle in the brain. It's a battle one on one.
Yeah.
And you said earlier, just before that, your dad was a runner. Yeah. So what sort of running did your dad do?
Just for exercise. You know, he was in the military. And so he needed to keep fit. And he just, he was just so disciplined about the running and getting out there and doing it. For me, one of the things I enjoy about running is running the races. I mean, I love getting into the races. I love the whole vibe of the race, but I also love the swag. And so I have medals from all of the races that I've run in the last couple of years, and they're hanging in my office at work.
That's the same as me. So when I climbed Mount Snowdon and they gave me a medal after that, and then it was that point then I thought, wow, this is cool, I've got a medal. Like I've never had a medal. Like there's just something so, like, they're like, it's so shiny and nice, aren't they? So I was thinking to myself, how I can't climb a mountain every time, because it takes time and progress, you know, and you have to plan these things. So the only other place I thought was running. So I can't wait to start doing that. I mean, I will be like Mr. T, if you remember Mr. T from the 80s. I will have all those medals on. I honestly will.
I can't wait to see the picture.
Yeah, I'm going to have it as my profile on every social media there is. Honestly, it's...
I love... can I borrow that idea? Because...
Yeah.
I have a lot of medals.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, I think you should just be stood there in a photo in your gear, especially the gear that you had on for your photo for the cover, that for the and just have them.
Well,
just have them there.
Yeah, the medal from that race, because that was a mermaid race.
Yeah,
they titled it a mermaid, and so you know, when I saw that, and I love mermaids, I'm like, well, how can I not run a mermaid race? So I signed up to do it. Well, the medal was about 6 inches big. It's a huge battle. And it was right after the Olympics. And my husband and I are driving home, and I kind of cheekily said, "Oh, my medal's digging into my stomach." And he said, "Oh, poor baby."
Yeah. They are great. There's so many different types of them. But with your dad, so obviously you said he was a disciplined runner. Yeah. He didn't care about the racing. It was more fitness. Obviously the disciplines, the army side of things. So what approach to running shaped your perspective of the sport? So especially someone who loves the race bling. So what was it?
Well, so to kind of, I need to make a circuitous answer for that. And that is that I stopped running after the 10-mile race. I had one of the things I learned is I didn't have any running goals. And so I didn't continue running. And in 2020, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, because I stopped running, I'd also gained weight. And one of the doctors who is treating me said that they can't specifically link my breast cancer to obesity, but scientists have said that obesity does lead or, can lead to cancer. So she recommended that I work with an obesity doctor. And so I started a 2-year journey to lose weight. And I started walking and exercising. And in the summer of 2021, I talked to my doctor. I said, I think I need to explore weight loss surgery. And she agreed. So that December, I had weight loss surgery. So I lost about 30 or 40 pounds. And then I just, I tried to run, but it just wasn't feeling right. So I stuck to walking. And I realized now what I was doing was building up my endurance. And in November 2022, I started running again. And I just slowly increased to the point where I am now. And two of the reasons why I like to run is that, one, it has significantly decreased my chance of getting cancer. And my mother had dementia. And all of the doctors in the dementia and Alzheimer's world will tell you that one of the things you need to do is to exercise. So I run so that I'm not going to get cancer again and not get dementia. But the third component, actually, of a running journey, because I can do both of those things with walking. But the third component for me is that it's hard. Like, it's challenging. Getting up and walking 60 minutes is a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Almost anybody can do it, but not everybody can get up and run for, like today I ran for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That's a long time. And it's hard. And so that's sort of what my motivation is. If I can accomplish something hard, I can do anything.
Well, they say, don't they? They say running never gets easier; you just get faster. Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
Well, I still haven't gotten faster.
Well, neither have I. So we'll just forget. I'll edit that out.
Yeah. I started running again when I was 54, and I was telling one of my coaches this morning. I've sort of come to the realization that I'm at a point in life where I'm probably not going to PR any more races. And I'm okay with that. I just want to go out and do them.
But you're doing that now because you enjoyed running and obviously you had some really, really horrible struggles with obviously the breast cancer. Is that cleared up now? Are you safe? Are you in recovery from that?
I am. And I think, so my diagnosis will have occurred 5 years in next April.
That's good news.
And I think that's when the specialist, the science says, you're good.
Mm.
And so, I take a medication every day.
Yeah.
And I'll stop doing that, which supposedly will help with some of the pain I have. I call it my old age pain, but it might be related to the medication I'm on.
Probably.
At that point, the doctors will clear me of cancer. When they keep, I can't think of the words, when they keep checking you.
I'm not sure. Was it like, it's like a recovery thing?
I have like four or five appointments. I have scans done a couple of times a year. But after April, I'll probably get to stop most of that.
Yeah. So obviously to touch on the cancer. So what role did running and preparing to run play with your weight loss journey and recovery process? So you obviously you'd either had the cancer removed, so you've got that whole recovery process, which is hard. But I remember my nan went through it. My nan died of breast cancer.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. It was a long time ago. So my mum has to be very cautious.
Yes.
My sisters have to be very cautious. So I know a bit about it. You know, I know where to. I know it's very weird to say, but I know where to check. Because obviously, you know, my wife, she's very cautious about it, and I think it's something women have to be very cautious about. Yes. Because it's the same as men with testicular cancer,
right.
If you're not going and getting checked, and then, you know, it could be far too late. So how did you find out?
Well, even though there has been no breast cancer in my family, you know, I did get to that age where you had to have a mammogram every year, and it was just on a routine mammogram that they found it. In fact, when I saw the surgeon, she couldn't even feel it. I mean, the tumor was that small. She couldn't even feel it when she was trying to find it. Mm. I very much promote mammograms. I used to, not to be too graphic, but, you know, I used to be one of those women who was like, oh my God, I gotta go get my boobs smushed. And it's a little bit uncomfortable. And now I'm like, I'm going to get my mammogram. Embrace it.
Once you've done it, it's just that fear of getting over it. And it's the same as the fear of getting over going out for your first run. You know, it's exactly the same. It's that mental challenge. So you just literally, if you can take that first step, anything's possible, isn't it? Anything. Yeah.
And I think, you know, for beginning runners and everyday runners, you know, that first step is really hard. And I really encourage people to keep going on to that second step. So, you know, I very much encourage people who are starting out to actually walk and get some endurance built and get some muscles built up walking, and do that for a few months or so, and then start to run. And particularly, you know, since I was overweight, I can say this, people who are overweight really should start off walking and not running right away.
But definitely,
you know, slowly build up, because, you know, I didn't wake up this morning and run 5.5 miles. I've been preparing to run 5.5 miles, well, for 2 years.
Yeah. And I think that's what people get scared of. It's that the walking part, and they don't feel like they're a runner.
Well, I'll share another little tidbit about me. I do not run continuously. I'm an interval runner. So right now I'm running 8 minutes and walking 2 minutes. And I find that having that walking break is a great mental break for me. I'll look at my watch and go, oh my God, 4 more minutes. Oh my God, 2 more minutes. In a couple of seconds, the bell's going to ding and I can run and I can walk. And I just love having that option.
Yeah, it's nice to have that, knowing that 2 minutes is coming up, because you'll push yourself to that eight minutes to get to that two to think, oh, I can rest. And that's the same as me. When I first started my first program to get to 5K, it was run for 0.25 miles and then walk until for 120 seconds. And when I saw that 0.24 miles and it had that one little point left, I was praying for it. I get there and then that 120 seconds walk, it's the best feeling in the world.
It is, I remember one time when I was running years ago, and I was doing the interval running, and I stopped, like, I was like halfway up a hill when I stopped, because that was just the timing of it. And this guy's like, keep going. I'm like, no, I'm supposed to stop.
Yeah, that's it. So exactly.
I encourage people to embrace the run walk on their journey.
Definitely.
It's a great mental thing to have.
It's a massive part, and it's and that's what I found. I was always very ashamed of walking, and if I saw a runner coming up the road, I'd start running, and as soon as you had the distance, I'd stop.
You know, so Jamie, I'll
ask. Just turn left and go right. I'm not running on that street because I know he runs up down there now. So I need to just walk comfortably. You know, I don't want to be the person with all the gear on and no idea, as they say.
So you know, this is where being in my 50s, I'm like, I don't really care what people think.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen people on Facebook write about, you know, someone asked, you know, when do you carry hydration with you? And people are like, oh, if you're going to do a 5K, you don't need hydration. You can just get it at the water. And I'm like, no, to me, hydration depends on, I carry hydration depending upon how long I'm going to run. So if I'm going to do 3 miles, I carry a belt with a water bottle. But if I'm going to be out doing more than that, I carry a hydration pack, like a backpack, because I'm going to be out for an hour and a half. And that stinking little water bottle isn't going to get me more than halfway. And I really don't care if people are looking at me going, she's walking and she's got a hydration pack on. You know, to me, that's the, you know, if anybody ever said that to me, I would probably flip the bird at them.
Yeah. I would. I mean, but everybody's different. So, like, you know, it can go off your weight, you know, how you've hydrated throughout the day. I always take two little bowls. I always have them up because I've never been a massive hydrating drinker. My wife's always like, drink. And I'm, you know, so for me, I need those there. Because when I'm running, I am like, oh, got down the whole thing, you know? So, yeah, I don't get that when people say, oh, it's only 5K, you don't need a drink. It's like, well, you never know what's going to happen on that 5K, and you may need that water. So I would say to anyone running new, take some water, definitely. Definitely take some water. Don't worry about that.
And really, I think the elite runners can do it. And I've seen them do it. I've seen, you know, it just boggles my mind that elite runners can do a marathon in 2 hours without carrying any gel packs, any water bottles with them. It just amazes me. And I'm just like, you know, that's that group of people. I'm not in it. I'm going to take care of myself.
And this is what this is all about. It's not about saying to me and showing off and saying, yeah, I can run 4 hours without water. Good on you. But it doesn't really resonate to me. I need water.
Yeah.
And if I haven't got water, I'm heading for a puddle. That's exactly what
I'm going to do. Or I'm just not even going to finish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, straight back home. So we've going forward then. So we had the 10 miler experience with the army that turned into 11. You've got your family with obviously your dad, a big runner. Horrible health scare, which, you know, I could only imagine was just crazy. You know,
I have survivor's guilt. And the reason why is my journey with cancer was really easy. Because of the type of tumor I had, I didn't need chemotherapy. And so I had the lumpectomy and then I had radiation. But I always share that breast cancer saved my life. I would not have started to look at making healthier decisions if I hadn't gotten it and if that doctor hadn't pointed out to me. And because, you know, really in my family, cardiac issues are the big one. Well, now I'm covered, so to speak. You know, I work out. So the likelihood of me having a heart attack or a stroke is much lower than it was 4 years ago.
Yeah. And it's a knock-on effect, isn't it? It's like you found out about the cancer. Then you thought, oh, I need to make changes because the doctor's gone, look, you need to make these changes. Yeah. And that was the same as me, high blood pressure.
Yeah.
Very light. And, you know, I put that down to obviously everything that was going on with my dad, and I wasn't eating right, I wasn't looking after myself. And it was then the doctor was like, keep going like this, and that heart's going to be out the door. So it was then a case of, sobriety for me. I stopped drinking alcohol because that was a big thing. And then, I moved on to eating healthier, running. And, it does have that domino effect. It's great. You know, it does. Running does everything, I think. It really does help. So with you running now, where we are now with running?
So in 2 weeks, I have a 10K.
Wow.
And 3 weeks after that, I have another 10K. And then I've already signed up for 2 5Ks in 2025. I'm probably going to do a repeat 10K in, I mean, I've done the race before in April. And then I'm considering a half marathon.
You are taking all the bling. You are taking it all.
Absolutely. But, you know, for me, it's, well, I like to repeat races I've done just because they're fun. But I also, you know, I'm 10 months ago, I would have said 10Ks are it for me. I'm not going any higher than that. And over the summer, I seriously added strength training into my regimen. And I do strength training twice a week. And I will tell you that I actually do it with Peloton. So I don't go to the gym to do it. I do it. I subscribe to Peloton. I use their library of classes. So I can exercise. I can do strength training whenever I want. I don't have to wait until a class that starts at 6 o'clock at night. If I'm ready to go at 5 o'clock, I can go down to my basement.
It's perfect. Yeah. It's there at home.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So because of that, my confidence level as a human being and as a runner has significantly improved over the summer. I had a great summer running. And so I was talking to one of my coaches and I said, you know, I think I want to try a half marathon. And she said, I think you should. And in fact, I, you know, I emailed her the other day and said, should I add a fourth running day into my regimen? And she wrote back, she was so excited that I said that or wrote that. And she said, yes, especially if you're going to do a half marathon, we need to increase your mileage. So, you know, I really strongly believe that it's so important to have strength training included in your running regimen, because, you know, all of the experts will say, I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of articles in Runner's World talking about how strength training improves your running. You can't just go out there and run and expect that you're going to not get an injury. You know, I've had some overuse injuries. I've had plantar fasciitis and I had hip tendonitis. And both of those were because I did not have the proper strength built up to be doing these activities.
So would it be, would your coach, was it your coach? You said you had a number of coaches. So is it your coach that got you into the strength training?
She did, because I actually, well, I mentioned to her, I in June, I was considering the marathon, not the half marathon, I mean, and she said, yeah, you're going to have to do more strength training. And so that was when I was like, great, what am I, you know, how am I going to fit this into my schedule? What am I, how am I going to find the classes I need to find or work with a strength training coach to get the exercises I need done? And then when I found Peloton, I was like, oh, this is perfect. You know, and I, not only has it helped with my running, but I've seen the improvement of my strength throughout the course of the summer. You know, I'm now doing ab work with weights. I never thought I would do ab work with weights. But, you know, now I'm holding on to weights while I'm doing sit-ups. You know, how freaking cool is that?
Yeah, that's amazing. That is amazing. And that's the same as me. I used kettlebells is my thing. So yeah. I'm not very comfortable in the gym. I feel very, what am I doing in here? It's just, I'm well out of my comfort zone there. So I bought kettlebells and my wife was like, you're never going to use them. It's just another thing you're buying. She's normally right. She is normally right. I'll give her that. But I do use these and it's just for my legs, really. I just strengthen my legs and my core, because strength training is fundamental for form, isn't it? Form in running. Exactly. So if you're not using the muscles right, and you could be more heeled runner, that causes knee problems, doesn't it? And so on and so forth, which I've read about. So yeah, it's a massive thing, and people can't be afraid with that. They've just got to sort of see it as, if you don't want to go to the gym, do exactly what you're doing. Get a Peloton or, you know, and do some sort of...
You don't even have to start off with weights. You know, you can buy bands. And they're on Amazon. It's not even like you have to, you know, go to the store, because I mean, everybody has Amazon across the world. So, you know, there's kind of like no excuse.
Amazon is like, you can find everything on Amazon. But I have to cancel my Amazon Prime because the amount of packages that come for me. My wife is like, what is this? And it's like, You can't disguise those packages. They're all the same. Yeah. They know, as soon as they see that brown package, they know. Yeah. No. So with your running then, so you've dealt with a lot of emotional highs, lows, and running's been there with you through various life changes. What's the biggest effect that you've had through running? So, you know, what's it got you through the most? What's the biggest thing that's happened in your life since your breast cancer?
So this year, 2024, has been a kind of a rough year for me emotionally. Back in April or May, I had a scan done and the doctors found something suspicious. Well, for a cancer survivor, when you hear something suspicious, it freaks you out.
Yeah.
And it turns out the issue was related to the cancer medication I've been taking. And so, you know, unfortunately, my train of thought is always going off the deep end. Like, I take things like to the nth degree. And I was thinking, oh my God, I've got a new form of cancer. I'm not going to be able to run. You know, maybe this is what's going to kill me. Because, you know, we always link cancer with death. And, you know, I went to the doctor and she said, well, we'll do the surgery to do the biopsy. But this is probably nothing. So this is probably just a result of the medication you're taking. And I was like, oh. And between the time I heard about the suspicious mass and the time I saw the doctor, I couldn't run. I walked. The stress level was so high.
Yeah, I can imagine.
As soon as the doctor said, oh yeah, it's probably nothing. I'm like, oh, great. And then I started running again. So, you know, I would love to say that running got me through it, but really it was just continuing to exercise is what got me through the first weeks of that. And then a few weeks ago, my mom passed away after a really long long battle with dementia.
Yeah.
And the day she passed away, it was a strength training day and I blew it off. I was like, I can't do this. My mom just died.
No, of course.
The next day was a run day and I'm like, I got to go out there and I've got to keep running. And, you know, having a race on your schedule is a great motivator as well.
Yeah.
And so I just went to the gym. I got on the treadmill. I did a fairly easy run, but it was exactly what I was supposed to do that day. And I've missed one run since she passed away.
Wow.
But I have found, you know, my mother was the type of person too, that she would not have wanted me to just languish in bed mourning her death.
Yep.
She would want me to get back out there and continue to live and so forth. And it was really kind of amazing. Like, people would say, I would show up. I do a lot of running with run groups because I just love the social aspect of that. And people are like, you're running already? And I'm like, you know, I need to run. First of all, again, I'm trying to keep dementia away and I need to exercise for that. My mother just passed from that. I'm like, you know, we've been mourning her for 2 years. So, you know, for the 2 years that we were on this path to the final end, I continued to run through all of that. And it was sort of, you know, my release. You know, I could come home from a run and be ready to deal with my mother who didn't remember who I was.
Yeah.
Or, and you know, particularly, you know, when it became more difficult for her to move around, we would have to pick her up, and thank God she was a little bitty thing, but we still had to pick her up and move her to chairs and to beds and wheelchairs. And so having the strength to take care of her was really important, but having that outlet to escape to while processing and dealing with, you know, this really long, painful, sad journey was a great, great benefit. And, you know, I live with depression, and so running has really helped with that. And, you know, I talk to a therapist every month, and over the summer, she started to notice too that my confidence level was up. And I think this really goes back to what we were saying earlier, that when you feel like you can accomplish one thing, then you feel like you could accomplish so many other things.
Yeah, it's endless. You've got that initial part in, the goals just keep increasing.
Exactly.
They keep and going.
Yeah, I think that, you know, having the confidence to keep going running gave me the confidence to continue to help my mother on this journey. I could help her physically, but I could help my father emotionally.
Yeah.
You know, as well. And so for me, running has been a great outlet for that.
Yeah. And that's the same for me with the whole grieving side of things. Running kept me in the zone in a way. Mm-hmm. So where I could be there for my mom and my sisters and not be the person that's falling apart around them, you know, that anytime I ever felt low or I felt down, I'd run. And, mm-hmm. you know, even if it was for 15 minutes, you know, 10 minutes, it didn't matter. It seems to just clear your head so you can really regather your thoughts and then realize what's important to you. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, helps with your confidence. So you said that your therapist noticed a boost in your confidence mm-hmm. since you started running. So on a lighter note, because I want you smiling all the time. How is this newfound confidence affected your outlook on life and goals now?
Tremendously. You know, my husband in my heavier days would say, you know, guys check you out. And I'm like, no, they don't. You know, I never believed that. And but, you know, now I walk around, I'm much slimmer. I'm fitting into regular size clothes. And so I feel better about how I look. And I think that also helps to exude confidence. I work in healthcare. I manage an orthopedic surgery residency program. And if you've ever worked with surgeons, their personalities are very, very different than a normal doc, but other specialists.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I find that because I'm more confident in myself, I feel better about how I do my job at work.
Yeah.
I feel better about the level of service I can provide.
Yeah.
Because I can do hard things.
Yeah, you feel you can achieve anything.
Yeah. And you know, one of the quotes I emailed you about, the women's basketball coach at Duke University in North Carolina, handle hard better.
Yeah.
And, you know, she did a whole talk on it. And in that talk, she was explaining, because, you know, she works with very young athletes, you know, 18 to 21. And, you know, a lot of those young people have excelled at so much. And mm-hmm. at 18, you don't have a lot of obstacles in life that you've had to overcome. And, you know, so she was trying to get the message to them that, you know, you're in college now, and you're at an elite university, which is going to demand elite performances, both physically on the court and in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you just got to learn to handle hard better.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is so true.
It is so good.
And that applies to everybody.
Is that your running mantra then now? So every time you're running, mine's every step counts, because I'm always like, when I'm every step counts. It's because I'm just thinking every step does count to me. But handle hard better, I might be stealing, because it is
it's
so cool.
The internet, take it.
It's so cool. Like when I saw that and I was like, oh my God, why didn't I think of that? So good. So good.
You know, it's funny. First of all, like as we talked earlier, not every run's going to be easy.
No.
I mean, you know, there are going to be challenging days. And, you know, last Saturday, I had to run up 6 hills and in the rain for 5 miles. And as I'm running hill number 3, it wasn't 6 hills. I'm sorry. Anyway, I had to run up hills. And some of them were short and some of them were really long and steep. And at the base of the really long steep hill, I was just like, handle hard better. You can do this. You've done it before. You can do it. Handle hard better and just do it. And so, you know, I made it. Actually, my phone dinged to stop to walk almost at the top of the hill. But I got to I did most of the hill running. And I did like the hardest part of the hill running.
But it worked.
It absolutely works.
It works.
You know, we talked about how running is really mental. And I really do find that if I'm in a bad place mentally, I'm going to have a bad run. Mm. And, you know, for me, sometimes being in a bad place mentally is it's so freaking hot and humid that it just makes moving difficult.
Yeah.
But when you're when you're able to talk yourself into these "I can do it" type situations, you can. It makes you run better. It makes you more productive. You have more confidence in being able to get up that damn hill.
Yeah, yeah. And you, the runner's high, like I've spoken to everyone about the runner's high, is the sense of achievement afterwards is just, it's just amazing. You do, you know, you want to tell everyone. My wife, when we sit down in an evening after a run, she's yawning. Like, oh, because I'm trying to say, yeah, but I did this and I was faster over 400 meters and I went up this hill. And, it, you know, you look at that hill and you probably... A professional runner would look at that and probably go, that is not a hill, but it's my hill. It's my hill. Yeah, I own that hill. And, you know, yeah, I totally get it. I totally get it. So what, looking forward then, because obviously your confidence is at an all high. Sounds like you're living your best life. You're taking home all the medals.
Yep.
What's your aim in completing the 210Ks this year? So what is it, and the half marathon? So what is the aim? Are you looking at a time, or is it just a case of just completing them?
You know, well, so the first 10K I'm going to do is actually on the fourth anniversary of my last cancer treatment. And I've done this race for the last 3 years, and I have dubbed it my FU to cancer race because it happens close to the anniversary. So, you know, I don't really have time goals. I might come up with a time goal as I get closer to race day. But, you know, my coaches are always saying you should have ABC goals. A is the goal that you really want to do. And that could be a time goal. And that's if like everything is perfect that day, weather and so forth. A B goal is it's not going quite the way you wanted it to. It's raining, whatever, you know, your B goal. And then your C goal is if there's nothing you can control, then let your seagull be the one thing you can control. And she's always talked about, like, her seagull, which has become mine, is always to finish the race smiling. So, you know, my mantra now in all my races is I just want to finish smiling. I don't care if it takes me an hour and a half or 3 hours. I just want to finish the race smiling.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it, because it's you've got to make running fun, because it's hard enough anyway.
Yeah.
So you've got to enjoy the fun parts, you know.
Yeah.
It's something that you've got to cherish, really.
Yeah.
Do you know, obviously in America, so with the sort of cancer runs they do they wear a certain color in America when they run, or because in England it's a thing where they wear pink?
Yeah, October is Cancer Awareness Month, and pink is a very big color.
Yeah.
In October, in fact, you know, I wear pink. Thank you. I wear pink a lot. During the month of October. In fact, although one of the doctors I know was telling me that there are a lot of cancer survivors who don't like the color pink.
Oh.
It reminds them too much of having gone through the battle.
Yeah, suppose I could, I could see that.
Yeah, but for me...
That's a different way of looking at it, because I've never really... I've never thought of that. I associate cancer with, because obviously the people that looked after my dad, which they were Macmillan cancer, they're green. So every time I see the color green, that reminds me. I'm very so I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do too, but it doesn't stop me from wearing pink, but I've always liked pink.
No. When I'm with my male friends, I call it salmon. Because it sounds so much more masculine, don't it? But when I'm with my wife, I'm like, I'm in pink.
No, I'm trying to get away with that. I don't let him.
Yeah. But last thing, I've been asking everyone, because this is the most important part. And this is what we're both here for. So it's for new runners. What is your key bit of advice for runners? New ones are just wanting to start out.
Well, get the right shoe. Go to a shoe store, a running store. And get fitted with the proper shoe. I don't care what it costs. That is the most important piece of equipment you need to have. And once you've got that, then start off slowly. Slowly build up. Don't go out and think, you know, I'm going to be able to run 2 miles today when you've not been able to do it before. You know, there are tons of apps available to new runners. There's, what is it, Couch to 5K?
Couch to 5K is a big one. Yeah, runner's a good one.
Well, one of the things I do is some running stores will have training groups. And so I've gotten involved in training groups. It allows, they also slowly build you up to what you want to accomplish. It's great camaraderie. It also makes you somewhat accountable. You know, when I feel people are expecting me to show up, I'll show up. I'll be there. And so, you know, shoes, slowly, and running groups are my big, in that order.
Great tips. Absolutely great tips. Okay. So it's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
It's been an honor.
Yeah, no, all mine. Just give your social a shout out. So if everyone wants to follow your journey, I mean, you know, I don't know if it's a private sort of profile or not.
My Instagram and Threads handle is The Duchess of Durham.
I absolutely love that. Honestly, I was just like, I'm speaking to royalty.
In my mind, I am.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure, Jamie. Last year, I did a virtual race on May 6th. You remember what May 6th was last year?
No, go on.
It was King Charles's coronation.
Oh, I'm British. Look at that.
I even wore a tiara on my run.
Nice. But you can find this episode on Spotify, Apple now. So we've moved on to Apple, Amazon Music. You can find it on my website, which is PaceYourselfPodcast.com, and it'll be on at PaceYourselfPodcast for Threads, Twitter. Please give Honor a follow, and also give me one if you like. But Honor's the most important one here. She's the star of the show. Thank you so much, Honor, for taking the time to share a very emotional story. And yeah, just keep running.
Thank you, Jamie. You too.